Over these weeks, we're going to explore some of the parables of Jesus. I've loved the parables for a long time. The way they awake our imagination or carry us into a story invite us to look with wonder at what we think of normally as the ordinary, and then sometimes those sudden twists that surprise or challenge our assumptions. Long familiarity may have dulled our capacity to meet the parables afresh. How many times have you heard the parable of the Good Samaritan or of the prodigal son? But they're also like good paintings. There's always something fresh to see. It's rare that a parable is precisely interpreted in the Gospels. Sometimes the meaning of a parable is suggested, but more often meaning is left undefined for us to wrestle with. And rather than define truth in a statement, parables invite us to explore what is true with open mind and heart. Rather than require us to obey or conform, parables invite us to respond. For me, Jesus's teaching in parables reveals his contemplative awareness of the wonders that are hidden within ordinary, everyday things. A farmer sowing seeds, or a merchant in the marketplace looking for the finest of pearls. A woman who sweeps her house searching for a lost coin. My sense is our own experience is also full of parables. Everyday events that hint at significance, if only we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. So over these weeks, as well as look in more detail at four particular parables, we'll be exploring how we can be awake to the Word of God sown within the sights, sounds and happenings of our experience. At times, I believe the disciples found Jesus' teaching style deeply frustrating. Why doesn't he speak plainly? Why all these stories? At one point, they come to him and ask for an explanation. And when he responded, he quoted words from the prophet Isaiah. The reason, he said, I speak to them in parables, is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, you will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And I imagine the furrowed brows of the disciples as they try to follow what Jesus is saying. The shrug of the shoulders or the raised eyebrow or the, well, that's all clear then, muttered below the breath. But turning Jesus' words around, a pattern for hearing and responding to the parables that he spoke, the parables that come up within our experience, begins to emerge. We are to listen and with God's help begin to understand what we hear, to look and be guided to perceive, to open ears, eyes, heart, and then when understanding begins to emerge, to turn to God, to respond, to receive all that God desires to share with us for our own wholeness and perhaps for the world's wholeness. So let's hear the parable of the workers in the vineyard. I say hear, and I do think it helps to read these parables aloud, even if you're on your own. Let the words dance round and do their thing. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire labourers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the labourers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the labourers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who've borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Perhaps like the disciples, we have a preference for truth told in straight lines. The sort of truth you can write down, put in a box, and say that you've got it. We like to grasp things to possess them. But a parable like this unravels our boxes, overturns assumptions, empties our hands of understanding, at least to begin with. Most of us have been in a work situation where we've witnessed or been on the end of some unfair action or practice. Surely, if you've worked more, you should receive more pay. To do other is to be unjust. Or does this landowner express a different form of justice? The disturbing quality of his action is not to do with meanness, but generosity. Are you envious because I'm generous? My mind switches to that prodigal father who throws a party for his long-lost son who's come home, much to the disgust of his brother who's worked long years on the farm. "My son, you were always with me, and all that I have is yours," the father says to his distressed elder son. "But it is only right to celebrate and rejoice for your brother, who was dead and now lives, lost and is now found." It is generosity that is disturbing in these stories. What it upsets are our notions of deserving and earning, the whole money-shaped way we view our relationships. We talk about our worth or lack of it. We're brought up to believe that good behaviour deserves reward and bad behaviour punishment. "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son," the runaway younger brother tells his father when he comes home. When I read these stories, I wonder whether God doesn't understand our money talk. "Be like your Father in heaven," Jesus teaches, "for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Maybe God does not understand our money talk, our notions of worth, reward, punishment, entitlement. The idea of a God who simply loves, simply gives, is so far away from the religion that I was brought up with, perhaps the religion you were. I imagine God as weighing our good deeds and bad deeds in the balance and deciding on that balance, on that basis, whether heaven or hell awaited me. Other questions arise. Does that mean that our actions are of no consequence? Is there no moral imperative? Does it matter then how we live? I believe it does, but not in the way I would have once assumed. Be like your Father in heaven, Jesus teaches, who simply loves, simply gives, simply sends rain and sun. The generosity of giving and receiving is the life of God. And this generosity is the life we are shaped for. All else is not life at all. Your brother was dead, the prodigal father tells his elder son. Our attitudes and actions are a matter of life and death. We have the capacity to give one or the other. Have I done what I suggested it was dangerous to do when met with a parable, grasped my meaning from it, boxed it in and closed myself down to how it might continue to question me? Perhaps. But then the truth I begin to glimpse of this generosity of God is also ungraspable for me, if there is such a word. My understanding of worth as earned, favour as reward, is so deeply ingrained from earliest childhood. Perhaps it's the same for you too. When you read this parable, it's likely to speak to you in a different way. For rather than define truth in a statement, parables invite us to explore what is true with open mind and heart, rather than require us to obey or conform. Parables invite us to respond. My sense is that the whole spirit of parables is important for this long year of uncertainty we are all travelling through. We're culturally shaped to expect quick answers and clear resolutions, and that isn't working just now. We wake up each day to a world that's unfamiliar. Does anyone still believe they know exactly where they're going or how things will be? It's almost as if this COVID time has the character of a parable. Of course, it's all too real, and for some, the impacts are devastating. But I wonder whether we have to stay open to the questions this experience is stirring up, just as we do when we hear a parable. Personal questions about our identity, the focus of our energy, what drives us, and whether we want to go on allowing ourselves to be driven in this same way. The more we hope or sense or desire that our life might be about, then there are shared questions too, about the attitudes that underpin the shape of our society, the quality of our relationships, the way we treat our common home, planet Earth. Much as we resist it, the invitation here to move more slowly, notice more, listen more, wait to see what uncertainty has to teach us. That maybe is what's alive and around for us. Not to run to that familiar answer as a way of shutting uncertainty down. Blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear. Well, maybe we don't yet fully see or hear. And so we go on listening and looking. Next week, we'll explore the parable of a rich man who built bigger barns, only to discover that his life was more finite than he assumed. But for now, stay with this parable and the parables that are working in your own life with open ears, eyes, and heart. And to help with this, you'll find some resources for prayer and reflection on the St. Augustine's website.